Welcome to the Bible study, and we're going to be going through some of the conclusions that we had recently reached on differences between Israel and the body of Christ, and we're going to show that there are incompatible differences. We're going to start with Galatians 1, verses 3 and 4, and we see believers in Paul's gospel being delivered out of this present world, not delivered to an earthly kingdom that comes from heaven. The Bible tells us in verses 3 and 4 of Galatians 1, grace be to you, and peace from God our God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. And a few verses later, we see Paul accursing from their churches anyone who preaches the circumcision gospel, at least preaches it to those to whom Paul preached the uncircumcision gospel. Now, those may sound like terms that are confusing, but there was the circumcision. That was Israel. They were to circumcise all their male children. They were known as the circumcision, and the rest of the world, known as Gentiles, are also known as the uncircumcision. The Lord, after Israel fell in Acts 7, fell from being God's means of interacting with the world, blessing the world, those that would come to him through Israel, after they fell in Acts 7 by committing the unforgivable sin that they had been warned about in Matthew 12, 31, and 32, after that, the Lord saved Saul of Tarsus and revealed to him a new pattern of salvation, which is recorded in the Scriptures, and we're going to go over some of that tonight. But if you look at the verses leading up to that part, look at, we'll start in verse 6, Galatians 1, 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Excuse me just a minute, please. Another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So this other gospel is a perversion of the gospel of Christ, which is the gospel of salvation that was revealed to Paul. It's the way Paul was saved on the Damascus Road. It was a secret or a mystery, the mystery of Christ. Christ had a mystery, a secret that he kept the whole time he was on earth ministering to Israel. And after he had resurrected and gone back to heaven, he revealed that secret, that mystery, to Paul for us. And it's how we can be saved and other things. But he goes on in verse 8, Galatians 1, 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, don't forget, those two words are so important in this context because that's where the truth is. That's what the Word of God says. I interrupted. Let me start at the beginning of 8 again. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So we don't just go around cursing everybody. Only those people that Paul preached to in that context, those Galatians, if someone came and preached another gospel unto them, they were to accurse them from their synagogue, from their, excuse me, their meetings. verse excuse me just a minute. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. There's that word received again. Those people in those churches not only believed the truth of the gospel, they received it under their lost condition, under their condemnation, to cure their condemnation from God. They believed that Christ died for their sins. Their sins are all died for because of it depends on Christ having died for their sins, which he did. He died for all sins in the world, ours and those in future generations. But it's received by faith, believing it makes a difference, not praying about it, not joining some group, not some ritual, getting wet or any other ritual, but believing to your own benefit, to your own condition, that Christ died for your sins. And that's what the Bible calls received, that the gospel, if any man, verse 9, and we, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And here again, we see Paul maintaining the separation between what was spoken to Israel and what was kept secret until spoken to Paul for the body of Christ. Those two different things. Roughly, loosely called prophecy, that which was prophesied or written down in the scriptures, and mystery, that which was kept secret, which was not put in the scripture, not revealed in the scriptures. It was kept secret until it was revealed to Paul, and from then on, it's in our Bible, and we believe that. That's our salvation, our door of entrance into God's salvation. We can't come to God through Israel anymore. Israel fell, and they're cast away until the toward the end of the tribulation, when the Lord awakens them, so to speak. He pours out, he sheds on them, as the scripture words, sheds on them the spirit of grace and of supplication. They change their mind. They repent. They believe that this is Jesus that's coming down, and he, as he splits, how could they not believe? He splits the Mount of Olives in half and takes over the world government. But, you know, it takes a lot. They've entrenched themselves in disbelief, and at one point God will enable them to believe. And until then, God is working this new pattern, the body of Christ, and bringing people into it by those that receive the fact that their sins are all died for. Christ died for our sins. So Paul certifies that his gospel did not come from man, including apostles, nor did it man or apostle teach it to him, but that it was revealed to him by Jesus Christ. And it was revealed separate from the 12 apostles, apart from them. Further down in the first chapter of Galatians again, starting in verse 11. Thanks, Vic, for posting. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed it to him. And next we see God's revelation of Jesus Christ in Paul. In Paul. And according to Colossians. We're going to go to Colossians now. Colossians 1:27, and according to this verse, Christ is in those who believe the gospel which Christ from heaven revealed to Paul for us. First chapter of Colossians, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's Jesus Christ is God. That's dispensing God into believers. That's the dispensation of God. That's talked about a few verses earlier there. I think it's verse 25, 20, 23, 24, or 25. It talks about the dispensation of God. Down here it shows what it is. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But don't forget that according to 1 Corinthians 1:30, we believers are also in Christ. Not only is Christ in us, but we are in Christ. It says, 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. In other words, God made it to be that way. Of him. Of God's doing, in other words. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. There it is. Righteousness. And sanctification and redemption. Unlike Israel, who is merely in Christ. They're in Christ. Israel's vine. You know, we are in Christ, being in Christ's body. So, you can remember we don't have to go there, but in John 15, the Lord says, I am the vine, when he's ministering to Israel. That's the Lord Jesus Christ came as a minister of the circumcision. That's what Paul reveals to us after Christ went back to heaven, that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm those promises that were made by God to Abraham and to the fathers, Israel's fathers, regarding us being in the body of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13. And verse 12 tells us, that if you start at the end of that verse, the last four verses, so also is Christ. So this whole 12th verse is describing Christ, body and head, Christ. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all we believers, in other words, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. You don't have to work at it. God sees to it. You do the believing that Christ died for your sins, and he makes you drink into one Spirit. You're in the body of Christ. The spiritual body of Christ was unknown, unheard of, before it was revealed in Paul, as we see in Galatians 1:15. Going down a little further in the text in Galatians, the 15th verse, and we'll look at the 16th verse in a minute. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, it's talking religiously there, in Acts 9, on the Damascus Road, Paul was separated to the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God, excuse me, when he was separated from his mother's womb, according to Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And Paul was not separated from his physical mother's womb on the Damascus Road. Paul was speaking of being separated from his mother religion's womb, the religion that had brought him up, he had been brought up in. And it was on the Damascus Road when he was separated from that religion unto the gospel of God. And the gospel of God, you can see that in the first four verses of Romans. That's the facts about who Jesus is. It tells who his Father is, that he is the Son of God. It tells his appointment, his anointing, actually, that he is the Christ, the Messiah. And it tells that he was resurrected from the dead. Those three things are the gospel of God. Nothing in there says you'll be saved if you do this or believe this. It's not a gospel of salvation for us. Israel was we are given one thing to do, believe that Christ died for our sins. Israel was given a whole list of things, so say, I didn't count them, but five or six things, we'll say. And the most important was the one last thing, to have faith that God sent a prophet like unto Moses, and that he bore the sins of Israel, of many, it said in Isaiah 53. And they did not believe it. That's the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. They didn't believe in Jesus. That one thing is what kept it. So when they believed the gospel of God, that was the last remaining thing. They became believers in Israel's doctrine, which includes enduring to the end. That's not our gospel. That's not our doctrine. That's only Israel's doctrine, that they have to endure to the end, to in the end be saved. The Bible says that once we believe that Christ died for our sins, you are saved. It says it in 1 Corinthians 15:2, and it says it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, and a couple verses later, in verse 8, Ephesians 2, 8. So, he says, let me scroll back here and get the verse. Verse 15, and we'll go right into 16 then. Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, Paul speaking, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Notice the word might up there in that verse 16. That I might preach him. It's future tense. It's not just the ability to, but it's not something he was doing at that point in the Galatian epistle. He was later, it's documented in Scripture that he was sent with the gospel starting in Acts 20, Acts 20 verse 6, but that's another lesson. I conferred not with flesh and blood. So Paul talks, he goes into the next chapter in Galatians, and he's talking about what happened there when the two sides, the side sounds like they're opponents. That's not at all what it was. They were both brothers in Christ. They often called each other brothers, but they were saved in different ways. One was saved by, you know, the covenants, enduring to the end in those covenants and in the law, the Mosaic law, and keeping the Sabbath and circumcision, and like we said, enduring to the end. In Christ's time, they had to sell everything and give it to the apostles to distribute. Well, the one other thing that I mentioned earlier is they had to believe. Deuteronomy 18 verses 15 to 19. They had to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and they didn't, so they fell. But that's the few of Israel that did believe he was the Messiah were called the little flock, and they gathered together in the Church of God in Jerusalem. And so when there was a dispute about doctrine in Antioch with Paul there, the dispute being from some people that had come down from the Church of God in Jerusalem, they sent Paul and Barnabas and some others up there to find out what they were actually teaching and what they thought, you know, the gospel was. Paul wasn't under their Israel's authority or Jerusalem, the Church of God in Jerusalem authority, or the 12 apostles of Israel. He wasn't under their authority. He went there because that's where the heresy came from. That's where they were teaching that you've got to be circumcised or you can't be saved. What a thing to teach in a grace church, right? In a grace gathering. So that meeting in Acts 15 was at least 14 years after Paul's conversion. And we find Paul traveling to Jerusalem to inform Israel's apostles of what is that gospel which he preaches among the Gentiles. He was communicating it unto them so they would know. They did not add anything to him when he told them what his gospel was that he was preaching. And that's an obvious difference in the two groups of churches. Let's go through those verses in sequence, I guess is the term, pretty much without comment. I might I reserve the right to butt in, but we'll go back and cover it if I do, so that we can get the continuity of it. But then 14, this is starting in Galatians 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again. So it wasn't the first time he went back to Jerusalem after his conversion, after his salvation. He says, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Verse 2. And I went up by revelation. Who revealed it to him to go up there? Well, it was Jesus Christ. He received an abundance of revelations from Jesus Christ. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. They didn't know it. He wasn't trying to get approval or anything. He had been teaching at 14, well, for at least, you know, quite a few years. Some of those years at the beginning were not, he was not recorded as having preached the gospel, but he preached the gospel of God in the synagogues. Straightway he preached the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Messiah. But you got to get to chapter 11 or 13 before you can hear Paul preaching salvation by believing in this man Jesus, who had died for their sins, died to provide forgiveness. Verse 38, Acts 13, 38. So, going on back to Galatians 2, 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run, or had run, in vain. Paul's experience and his receiving of the gospel and being saved by the gospel is not in Israel's history. It's not in Israel's events. Israel doesn't know about it by looking in the scriptures. This was new. It was revealed to Paul by Jesus Christ, his salvation. So going on to verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, so there we've got a Greek, he wasn't, it says, neither was he compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in. So some people tried to force them to circumcise Titus, but they wouldn't do it. Reasons of their own there. Because of false brethren brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Back under the law. They had to be circumcised to be saved. That's part of the law. It was before the law too, but it was in the law. So, verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So important to preachers of the gospel and apostles that the truth gets exposed and brought to new people that need it and that want to hear it. Verse 6, but of these who seemed to be somewhat, whosoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, but God accepts no man's person. That's all parentheses there. Let me go back before and leave out the parentheses so you get the flow of it. But of these who seem to be somewhat, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. So Paul communicated the gospel that he preaches to the Gentiles, to these apostles, and they added nothing to it. They kept their hands off. The Lord is working in this way with these people. That's God's business, in other words. So Christ commissioned Paul, and there was there was nothing the 12 could interfere about. You know, it was Christ's commissioning that enabled Paul to, well, he preached the gospel of Christ in the work. It's called the work in Acts 13:2. Paul says that James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, they saw the difference in their two gospels, and that Peter's was the gospel of the circumcision, and that Paul's was the gospel of the uncircumcision. We see that in verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, that's Paul speaking, the gospel of the uncircumcision, as the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter. So we see here that there are two gospels, and then in the very next verse we see there are two apostleships. And we could look up Romans 11:13 and insert it there. I forgot to put that in the verse list. But he goes on and he says, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." And in Romans 11, verse 13, we see that Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. "I speak to you Gentiles in that I am, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles." There weren't several. Peter wasn't an apostle of the Gentiles. He was apostle of Israel. He spoke one time by the order of Jesus Christ, one time to one Gentile, Cornelius, and his family and friends that gathered with him there. And Peter spoke what he knew. What he had heard and believed, he preached. That was Israel's gospel and doctrine. But Paul says, "I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office." So you've got two gospels in verse 7, two apostleships in verse 8, and the three there of reputation that he's talking about, the three apostles, James, Cephas, and John, they loosed themselves from their commission to go to the heathen. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. They knew that earlier in Christ's ministry, he had said they won't get to all the world before he returns. That's Matthew 10:23. So they left the heathen for Paul to go to, as he had been sent by the Holy Ghost in Acts 13, verses 1 through 4, especially 2 and 4. But if you look at that verse about where Christ said he would build his church, look at in just after that, in Matthew 16, verse 19, "I will give unto thee," talking to Peter, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." At the same time, James, Cephas, and John bound themselves to go to the circumcision, to the true circumcision. And that's the ones that they were already ministering to there in the Church of God in Jerusalem. Look at the verse, Galatians 2:9. "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me," me being Paul, "they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." So they restricted themselves in that binding. They restricted themselves to the true circumcision, those that already believed that Jesus was the Messiah, those that were already meeting with him. They left off in the evangelism, in other words. And as time went on and they died off, that church died out through attrition. But if they were going to the circumcision, Israel, who did they write to? They wrote to the circumcision. Who did they visit in their journeys? They visited the circumcision. they didn't preach to the Gentiles. They left that for Paul with Paul's gospel and Paul's apostleship. So Israel's kingdom churches were different and separate from Paul's body of Christ churches, except that they sometimes started together when Paul would go to a new city and preach in the synagogue. Those that believed would come out and believe. What was he preaching? He was preaching the gospel of God, who Jesus is. Welcome to the room. Paul would preach who Jesus is to these Jews and God-fearing Gentiles that believed Israel's doctrine, the Greeks. He would preach the gospel of God. And those that believe, he would separate out, and they would meet separately. So, yet they were both brothers in Christ. In other words, some of those people that came out of the church, out of the synagogue, having heard Paul preach that Jesus is the risen Messiah, some of those were completed as Jews. They had been disbelievers before. They had done all those things we listed there, the kept the law, believed in the covenants and kept them, committed circumcision, but they were circumcising all their male children and things like that. But they hadn't heard of or believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Well, when they heard that and believed it, they became full-fledged little flock type believers. They were true Israelites, not the false circumcision that Romans 2:25, the verse that was in something else. Romans 2:25 pretty well delineates who were the circumcision, who was not the circumcision. We can look at that if Romans 2:25. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. So there's the uncircumcision, calling themselves circumcision, hiding the fact that they're breaking the law by not believing that Jesus is the Messiah. That was in the law, Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 19. So, you have some people coming out believing the gospel of God, who Jesus is, and they were to be, God was calling them. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 7 saying they were called to be circumcision. And they were called in circumcision. And Paul says, don't try to be uncircumcision if God calls you circumcision. And there were some that were in those synagogues that came out and heard the gospel of God about who Jesus is. And Christ was calling them to be body of Christ people, believing Paul's gospel by which Paul was saved. Well, they had to all meet together. There wasn't any other place to meet. So they met together for a while until they separated. And somebody from Israel's doctrine, or one of the apostles or disciples, would meet with those true believers, of course separate from the synagogue, because the synagogue had vowed if anyone believed that Jesus was the Messiah, they would be kicked out. They would not be allowed in the synagogues. So, but yet they called each other brothers. They helped in each other's ministries. I shouldn't say that. I can't think of any scriptures where the body of Christ workers and apostles helped in Israel's, what we just talked about there when they came out of the synagogue. But the main thing is that you've got listed some people that Paul says were my only helpers from the circumcision in the gospel of Christ. So they were the people. Peter gives it away, I think, a little bit in 2 Peter 1:12 when he talks about some of the people that he had ministered to being established in the present truth. After Israel had fallen and Paul was saved, the truth from then on was that Christ died for our sins, believe on him to life everlasting. And so he's talking to these people and he's reminding them of their origin and things. He says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. So Peter knew, you know, that what Paul was teaching. This was long after Paul, according to Galatians 2, verse 2, went up to Jerusalem by revelation and communicated unto Peter, James, and John the gospel which he preached among the Gentiles. So he knew what the present truth was when he wrote that. They cooperated. There's the verses in Colossians 4, I think it is, and in Romans 16:7, I think, is another one showing cooperation. And there's at least one other that I can't think of offhand. But only those believing Paul's gospel of Christ were in the body of Christ. The Jewish helpers were in Israel's future and Israel's doctrine and would be saved by Israel's gospel if they endure to the end. What are the differences? We're just about done here, but let me we're not going to get into all of it right now, but let me name some. Their origin was different. Israel was born in the cloud and in the sea, Exodus 4:22. They were God's firstborn. They're called. There's a difference in the way, let me put it this way, a difference in the time that a person is saved. If a Jew, let's start with a Jew. If a Jew gets saved, he's not saved yet, actually. Even to this day, they are believers, yes. They accept the covenant. They practice circumcision and Sabbath keeping and all the law and the covenants. They believe that Jesus is their Messiah that is coming in the future to blot out their sins at his return. Acts 3:19 says, their sins aren't blotted out until Christ returns. They're taught, when the gospel is preached to Israel, it's preached for remission. Their sins are remitted until Christ returns to earth and blots out their sins. There's a difference there. Look at, Ephesians 2:5 tells us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. We get saved immediately upon belief. So they can't be the same group. Levels of security. There's a difference. Once we're saved, we're immediately sealed by the Holy Spirit, into the body of Christ. Israel, when they believe, they still have to endure to the end. And they could, Romans 14:15, I think, and 1 Corinthians 8:11 tell us, they could perish. They could be destroyed if they go against their doctrine. If they, try to, eat meat offered to idols. That's one thing that Paul talks about, that those Jewish weaker brothers among them, if they try to copy Gentiles, who it's okay for them to eat meat offered to idols, but if the Jews try to copy that, they could perish. I think it says perish in, that's the one verse there, yeah, destroy not him with thy meat. Perish is in 1 Corinthians 8:11, I think. There were different, another difference, just before we close, they had different baptizers. Israel, let's look at the verses that show that. Easy enough to show if we're willing to believe the verses. That's the big if. If it's new to us, sometimes it's hard to believe it the first time you hear it. But look at Acts 2:33. Wait, let me go back a little bit. 32, for context. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And then verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, it's talking about Jesus at the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. Acts 2:33. You know, talking about this, the shedding forth of the Holy Ghost, on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ is the baptizer. It says right there, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this. So Jesus Christ is the one that baptized Israel and the believers in Israel there in Acts 2 and Acts 3 and Acts 4. Let's look at who baptizes us, and my mind is going blank now. Where? Hold on, it'll come back. 1 Corinthians 12:13. 12:13. There we go. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. See, we're not baptized into water. We're baptized into the one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Who's the baptizer there? By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's different. Different. Okay, I'm done for tonight with this, unless there are questions. And we thrive on questions, so let's hear if you've got something you're doubting or didn't get the scripture on it or something. We'll see if we can relate any questions to the scripture. Bring them up, please.